This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for business and IT professionals. This episode is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. This is episode 66 with Daryl Webster. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. My name is Robert Crane, and in this episode, I'm joined all the way across the Tasman by Daryl Webster. Daryl, welcome.
Thank you, Robert.
Good to see that you're able to start a bit later to help us do this podcast.
A bit later. Yeah, I guess 5 o'clock, it's nicely timed after work and down tools with the job, so to speak, and put on the community-minded hat now.
Yeah, I think it's you're probably one of the few countries in the world that's further into the future than us here in Australia, so that's great. And as what we do with all podcasts on the Need to Know episodes, what I'll get you to do, Daryl, is just introduce yourself, let the listeners know who you are and what you do.
Certainly. Well, Daryl, just based over here in New Zealand. I work for a SharePoint and Office 365 training company, the name Share the Point. I've had a varied background with IT, was a systems admin, got into IT because I could type, took a sabbatical from IT and was a postie for a little while. And so I've had quite a good variance of different industries with IT and seen things at all sorts of levels. I left high school aiming to be a teacher, so in a sense I've done the full swing and now I'm back into IT training. So that's what I do as a day job. As a community-minded person, I'm very much into Office 365 and helping people on forums and within communities to understand how to get the most out of it, and nicely being recognised with an MVP title to recognise the community contributions, and definitely enjoying connecting with people such as Robert and others all around the world.
Yes, certainly a well-deserved award on your behalf of all the contributions that you do make on a regular basis. So, again, well-deserved on that. What I've asked Daryl to come on board with us in this episode to discuss is particularly around Yammer. So I think that's something that you're pretty passionate about, aren't you, these days, Daryl?
Yeah, it's... If I was to say how long I've had experience in it, it's not like I've been there since the birth of Yammer, but certainly in the lifetime of working at a couple of places that they've had a look at it. Some have run with Yammer and some haven't, and I've just sort of looked at it a bit closer, and particularly my experience and involvement has been with external Yammer networks, ones that have been added to a business to outreach to other communities. So yeah, I've become quite passionate about it and seeing the advantages of it. Yeah, definitely.
All right. So what we've seen is obviously Microsoft, Yammer used to be a standalone product run under its own auspices, and then Microsoft went and bought it for a couple of $1 billion and is now beginning to integrate it quite extensively through Office 365. Now, I suppose the easiest way I can describe it is if you think of something like LinkedIn or Facebook, this is very much a similar arrangement as except for the enterprise. So with the Office 365 implementation, you get a lot more power and control over your enterprise Yammer network. And as Daryl mentioned, there also is a free Yammer network. So you can go in, sign up, go to yammer.com, sign up with your email address. It has to be a corporate email address. It can't be something like Gmail or whatever. And then you basically create your own Yammer network, and you can then start connecting with other networks. So, for example, there is an Office 365 technical network where you get all people talking about Office 365 technical stuff. There's stuff on SharePoint. There's stuff on all sorts of stuff out there. And again, those external networks are generally free to join with. You can then integrate that with your enterprise, so you can have all your employees within your enterprise Yammer, and you can control that, provide a great deal more, auditing and tracking over that. But again, if you wanted to start with Yammer today, you could certainly do it for free. But in essence, it's basically a social network for the enterprise, And I look, I personally see it as a big advantage in moving away from email. So, I mean, what's the best way that you could describe it? I'll let listeners know, Darryl, what Yammer is and what it does.
Yeah, well, listening to how you've described it, it has summed it up. It's, I guess, as a mouthful, it's quite hard to hear where do I start and what do I do with it. My first introduction to Yammer was basically been invited by someone within the business that I worked with. As you say, you can go to yammer.com and sign yourself up to start a Yammer network for free. So it is literally just based upon your email address. And as I said, my introduction to it was a colleague had signed up, and then part of the signing up process was invite five people along to experience the network with you. All of a sudden, I had this invite to this network, and it very quickly grew from there. Funny thing was, though, that in this business I was working at the time, they had been developing a similar product of their own, and said, "No, we won't be using Yammer. Hold the brakes." And all of a sudden, the network was dead, as we were told, we're not going to be using it. So Yammer is very easy to get into, and you might actually have been introduced to it in the same way. Now, the great thing about signing up with your own email address is that's what contains the conversation within just your organization. So while it's quite easy to join up, it is an enterprise network, it is a social network, but it is contained and private within your organization. As long as you've got an email address that lets you join the network, whether it be free or as part of an Office 365 subscription or standalone enterprise subscription, it's the email address that lets you get in there.
Okay, so I mean, obviously we've got this social network, which again a lot of managers would see as the devil incarnate. They're always a bit hesitant about it, and they're always a bit worried about it. From your point of view and the organisations you've worked with, what benefit does Yammer bring to the table? Why is Yammer, so popular? Why is it growing in popularity? Why is a lot of people looking to use Yammer to improve their business?
The thing that is, as you say, a misconception, and that all it could be of the devil, is, oh no, is it another Facebook? Is it just another place where people are going to have public conversations and we're not going to be able to have control of it? But this is one of the benefits of Yammer, is that it isn't public in that sense. When a business signs up and begins to use it, it is still contained within the organization. Now, where you start to see benefits is the nature of Yammer is that it is open conversation. So I'm about to start to make a couple of comparisons now between email. And I'm certainly not saying that Yammer is a replacement for all scenarios that are email, but it works really nicely alongside it. And we'll get into that a bit more as we talk together with Robert. One of the main things about, as I said, about Yammer is it's about open conversations. So where you might have a distribution list, and let's just take the all company distribution list, for example. Occasionally you'll get the email there that says, "I've lost my keys, can you help me find them?" Or, "I'm selling Girl Guide biscuits," and all those sorts of messages. And that's open, it's going to everyone. With Yammer, you still have the same kind of scenario in that you can post a message to all network. But just like with distribution groups in email and within Exchange, for example, you can have separate groups within the Yammer network based around perhaps your team that you work with, a discussion on the products that you might be representing. Basically, you can create a group for any purpose. And the openness of conversation is where that businesses are benefiting, organizations are benefiting. A few really good examples that I can think of are where you've got a franchise where you've got many different stores around a country, or perhaps even around the world. They've all been given some instructions about how to set up a particular window for a display. I think about this and understand the scenario because I used to work in retail clothing. And we used to get instructions about, okay, put the mannequins facing this way and put this particular shirt on from the line of clothing that we're selling, and make sure that the sign is sitting on the left-hand side of the window and the stickers are over here. So this example I'm thinking of is I forget which company it is over in the States, but basically someone was putting together this display, and they said, look, we don't really think that this is going to work very well the way that you're doing this particular part. So they began this conversation in Yammer, and that was very easily and quickly picked up by the marketing team, and they began to discuss things. And then you had some other input from other stores very quickly. Because the conversation's open, people are able to put in their 10 cents worth and very quickly come to decisions or suggestions or make improvements. And not only did you have it at that level, but you also had CEOs and higher level managers were able to jump in and put their 10 cents worth in as well. So Yammer is helping to help make quick decisions and communicate things quickly, but in an open fashion. Whereas when you might have a DL, you certainly have to be a member of that distribution list to be part of the conversation. That's one main way.
Yeah, one of the things that opened my eyes that I saw, there's a Yammer video basically called Billy's Journey. I don't know if you've seen that, but basically Billy is a an employee of LexisNexis, so one of the really big law style, documentation firms. And basically his job was to go out and to train the students at universities on how to use LexisNexis. So his job was go out to the law students, spend days training them. Now, because LexisNexis had Yammer, he's found that there was a conversation going on around the latest, what was going to go into the new version of the product. Now, he was able to join that and contribute and feed in information from the students that he was working with and into that conversation. And then he saw a lot of, the features that he'd recommended or talked about actually end up in the product. Now, the two benefits there were that I took away from that video is one, you firstly have an improved development cycle because you're getting, as you say, ideas from many different levels of the organization. But secondly, most importantly, I think even more so, is the fact that this employee now felt highly valued within the organization because their voice was now heard by the top management as and it went into crafting this product. And that was very, very important to them. And the biggest challenge most businesses have today is retaining good staff, and good staff want to get in, contribute, and to, basically interact beyond their normal station. And I think, again, that's what I saw from Yammer. And I think that, like you talk about with that openness, that's something that's very, very important, especially to the millennials that are coming through into the, into the workforce now.
Yeah, no, I definitely take that point that being able to feel valued that your opinion does count. I think that, like you say, one great thing is that contributions can be made at all sorts of levels. I mean, the person in accounting or the person in some of the less operational kind of areas or even sales areas may have just as good a contributions to an idea as the person who that's their day-to-day job. It's been able to get the different viewpoints of that same elephant, that same idea, and really building it out quickly and having that one place to see that conversation. So if we bring back that distribution list example, you have to be a member of the group to be part of that conversation. And everyone gets a copy of that conversation via email. Whereas if you've got a conversation going in Yammer, you'll be able to come along and be part of that, see the whole thread of it, whether you've been a member of the group for 5 minutes or 5 months. And it's been able to keep that conversation out in the open and persist it. So a conversation might have started 2 or 3 months ago about an idea, and it's still been able to be picked up on and refined and worked on in this one place within a Yammer group in the network.
Well, I think again, what we're seeing is that, as you, I think, as I've been rightly saying, is that probably 90 to 95% of the conversations you have in your emails don't need to be private. They could be publicly shared. And again, once they're publicly shared, they're searchable, they're referable by other people, they unlock additional information, and they open up the organization. And I think Unfortunately, we've become so dependent on emails that we've created this monster to the point where emails are now becoming actually detrimental to the business. They're actually slowing down the business because so many people spend so much of their time just processing emails. And I don't know if you're like me, but how many times do you see, you know, people that CC everybody, or you put you in a conversation that you really shouldn't be in, or they reply back to you and say thanks or okay or one word like that? I mean, it's just really inefficient ways of working with the medium, and it promotes, you know, this I suppose this email overload. I mean, is that the sort of target that you're looking at to drive Yammer adoption, do you think?
That's definitely one way to make use of Yammer and get better use out of it. That you know, rather than having many different copies of an email being sent out to many different members of a group, that it is still just one place to go in and check and have a quick read of the conversation. Not only that, but being able to go to into that conversation and see the most recent discussions. So where you go to a conversation and there might be 50 or 60 different replies. Things are nicely collapsed. You can see that the last couple of replies, and you can click a link to expand that out and just see a little more recent area of the conversation. Yet the whole thread is still there. So yeah, you might still get people who will type a one-liner and say, "Oh, thanks for that," or "That was a great idea." But it's far, far easier to skim through and read that than to have an email trail attached to the bottom of every single email that you're receiving within that conversation. I think just I'll return to something else that to clarify too. When you're saying that conversations become public, I'll just re-emphasize that the Yammer network that you have within your internal network when you first sign up is private. It's not public in the sense that Google or Bing can go in and index your conversations. It's certainly accessible only via a login.
Yes.
I
So
think
what
what you're saying is public, as in there's
we're yeah.
public groups and private groups within the Yammer networks.
Yes, I'm really talking about, you know, I suppose we're focusing on Yammer for the enterprise within an enterprise at this stage. So what we're saying is rather than Daryl and I exchanging an email and then nobody else being able to be party to that or see what the information that we've shared, if we do that on Yammer, then potentially they can run a search, they may come across it, they can also jump in and contribute, again without having to necessarily, you know, jump on the bottom of the email trail and find out what's going on. So in that case, I'm talking about, you know, public within an organization, rather than you know, being totally public and indexable, as you mentioned.
Yep, exactly. So one of the things about having that conversation in a place where you can see it, the homepage for Yammer is quite a, well, the homepage for your network is quite an important place or tool to start. Not only just because it's called home, but there's a few feeds on that homepage which make it very easy for you to come and be part of the conversations that are going on within your organization. Your first feed, which is usually the default that people experience, is called the top feed, and that feeds you back or presents to you some of the more active conversations that are happening at the moment, and that could be across any of the different groups that are public. Private group conversations, you join a private group only by being authorized or allowed to by the admin of that group, and so private conversations within a private group won't appear in these feeds. But the top feed's a good way to quickly just see what's going on in the organization, see what the hot topics are, and jump on in. The feed that I like to use most of the time, surprisingly, is actually the all feed. It's I don't know, maybe I just like to be across lots of things and see everything that's going on, minus the private conversations, of course. But I see the all feed as a good way to just jump in and see everything really that people are discussing. So not just your top trending conversations, but what did such and such just say right now in the last minute or the last few seconds?
And I think also part of it too is that one of the you know, the thing that I've come to realize is that the difference here is with Yammer and social networking in general is that when you get emails, is there's this fear or there's this feeling that I've got total control, I've got all the information. I mean, most people sure have the information, but most of them would never use it, never see it, or they either file it, they I mean, how many people do you know that have got thousands and thousands of unread emails in their inbox? Whereas the social networking, basically, I've put it down to a term, is you've got to trust the algorithm. The algorithm makes the best decisions for you as to what you should look at. So this is, again, like the Delve idea, like maybe Flipboard, you know, those sort of things, where the algorithm looks at the interactions you have with other members in the community, those you interact with, and it surfaces the information, you know, in the top area, as you pointed out, as to what's most relevant. Now, of course, Yammer gives you that control where you can say, you know what, I don't want the algorithm to do that. I actually want to go through everything. And that's where Daryl's gone in and selected the all option. You can certainly troll through everything and see as it comes through. I think that's where we're beginning to see a difference. So, you know, couple of new options, obviously, with Office 365 is the Delve product, which uses the Office Graph and works out your interactions and surfaces relevant information, and also Clutter, which is the new intelligent thing within the inbox, which does intelligent routing of your emails as well. So again, I'm beginning to see these sort of tools pull together, and I think this is the differentiation for a lot of managers or people. You either get social, as in you trust the algorithm, or you don't, and you just want this, I've got to have all the information, even if it's too much for me, I need to have it all. I mean, do you think that's a fair delineation?
Yep. Like the algorithm is good to start off with. Okay, so it's good that it sees what sort of conversations are involved in and the groups that you might be a member of and makes that presentation based on that. The all feed, I was about to say that the reason that I use that on and off probably more often, and I'll speak about the third option shortly, but the all feed, I work remotely. So my team within SharePoint, we're spread across all of New Zealand, and you know, we have conversations throughout the day on and off, and I like to treat Yammer as something of a water cooler, as a almost like office banter. So while I don't work in the same room with my colleagues, I have Yammer in the sense that I can occasionally, if I've finished a piece of work or I'm in the middle of a piece of work and I want a bit of a break, that I can just have a quick look on Yammer and see what my team and people are discussing within the Yammer itself. So that's how I use the all feed in another way. But the third feed, if you're not so sure on the algorithm and you want to have a bit more control, the third feed is called following. So this is where you can mark the different people, or you follow the people that you're interested in, their conversations. You can follow the groups, of course, that you become members of. And finally, also, there might be some more options, but the third one I'm thinking of is that you can follow particular topics within the Yammer network as well. So it brings in the idea of saying, just like with an email, I write an email and I've got a subject. And I know some people use the subject as the whole message box. But if I draw this comparison, Yammer, I can set one or two subjects as well on my conversation. I can fill out the topic field and say, this is going to be a discussion about how to use Yammer, or welcome to the new staff, or company training going to be delivered shortly. So those topics I can follow. And if I talk about the following feed now, that helps me to remain really focused on who I'm interested in, the groups that I'm interested in, the topics that I'm interested in. And I can quite easily switch between all three of these feeds and see, I guess, a different view each time of what's going on in the organization, what sort of conversations are going on, and remain engaged if I need to.
Well, I think, again, what we're seeing is that, again, you've sort of made the shift to the social side of it. So let me ask you this. Before using Yammer, were you a big Facebook, Twitter, you know, like a social media person? Did you sort of take to that when it came out?
Not so much Facebook, funny enough. I dipped into it for a while and really saw it mostly as a way to communicate personally with family and friends. I didn't really see it as a business tool. I wanted to kind of keep that kind of life separate, have something a little more that I could keep to myself between family and friends. But I did get onto Twitter. And it's always a challenge, I guess, to try and author a response or something to reach out to people and fit that into the number of characters that we have. But I did see the creative way of being able to quickly network with people and reach out to them and get their feedback or engage with them and even just meeting new contacts via Twitter was certainly something that I took to. So that kind of journey for me with Twitter was happening probably at the same time that I was beginning to get into Yammer as well. I wouldn't say that I'm a social media person in that I was first in Twitter and first in Facebook and I just switched the switch over or started to learn Yammer. I had all of these sorts of things going on at the same time. Before that, I was a sociable type person, but I used email, blog posts. But yeah, I really wasn't really into the social media side of it. The biggest value for me was just exactly what we've been discussing, that I can reach out very quickly to people and have these open conversations and people can join very easily. And that's why I picked up so well on Yammer.
Okay, so again, there's obviously this transition that we're going through, and we're sort of seeing, you know, the people picking it up and not picking it up, and we're getting, you know, users adopting it within an organisation, some aren't. I mean, how do we sort of address the fact that we have got these people who are ready and want to go early and are keen and see the benefits of Yammer, and then we've got other people who are laggards who don't want to stay with what they're doing? I mean, how do we address that? Because if we don't, we end up in some way with, you know, twice the information, don't we? Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, well, it is a fair comment. That conversation speak can be going on in the traditional distribution groups, and some can be beginning to have those conversations within Yammer. The bridging factor between Yammer and the email world is the email abilities of Yammer. And this is probably one of its strengths, that because this has been built into Yammer, it does help people to make that transition. And in one sense, if they're used to working with an email, they don't have to leave working from email. They can still participate within conversations within the Yammer network by using email and making just a few settings. So that's something that, in all honesty, it does take a little training to set up, to show people how to make these settings within Yammer. But once it is done, you can still almost experience a Yammer group just like a distribution group, with the added bonus that your content's going into one place and people who choose to interact with it over a web page can do so.
Well, I think also too, that's the important thing that many people don't appreciate, is that you know, most of these social networks, all of them really, have the ability to have email alerts. So if you're a traditional email person and you do want to still receive emails, you can certainly receive those alerts, and you can configure the ones that you get, and you can also go in and submit topics and responses by email. It's a little bit more cumbersome, I admit, when you're doing it with Yammer, but at this stage, at least, it does support it. So there is that sort of transition to go through it. But obviously, the best experience, the quickest way to work with it would be through the web interface. I mean, again, is that a fair? I think that's a fair comment to say, you know what, it's just so much easier through a web interface.
It is the richest experience because it's certainly been designed around that. We know that, as you say, once you know how, you know how to start a conversation with a Yammer group. For the groups that I belong to and want to and start a conversation from email, I will save the email address for the group as a contact within my contacts. It's quite easy to draw it out from there. And perhaps I think some organizations do. They create a contact record within their global address list for that purpose too. Yes, the richest experience is certainly within the web browser and the web experience. Even within email, you always have that option. There's hyperlinks at the bottom of the message that say, if you want to view the conversation, click here and you'll be taken to the web page. Or if you want to unsubscribe for this conversation, then you can click this link and you'll be unsubscribe from it. So it's still the richest area, and you do see why once you begin to use the web version of Yammer, that you can upload attachments, you can drop in links to videos and play videos directly from Yammer. You can create polls, and you can reference different conversations. And this is something that I guess is one strength again over a distribution list. How do you reference a conversation that happened on another completely different conversation? Well, you could take the message and attach it like an attachment, and then everyone has to open that up. Within Yammer, you can copy the URL to that conversation, and everyone can read it from there. So there's all sorts of different ways of getting the benefits out of that richer experience within the browser. I guess one other thing I'll ask you now, Robert, too. What's your experience been of using the different Yammer apps that are available? Because that's one other area of accessing Yammer.
That was the next thing I was going to go into is sort of what your experiences were using the apps. I think that obviously, you get the richest experience as you admit. The easiest way to swap in between things using the browser, and again, you can leave it on your desktop in the background and off you go. I think that the problem with mobile is that Yammer, to an extent, probably needs to be open a fair amount of the time so you can refer back to it. Like I said, the water cooler sort of thing. You go up to the kitchen and get a cup of tea and you have a couple of conversations along the way. On the mobile device, I think that it probably doesn't support that because they're typically single. You're single tasking, so you work on your emails and then you go on browse something and you don't sort of. You haven't got Yammer sort of in your view. Now, obviously, Yammer can then notify you and do that as well in the background. But it seems to me that the screen size and that doesn't lend itself well to this conversation that we're trying to have in Yammer. It's great for alerts and notifications and popping in to ask a quick question, but for the conversational thing where you talked about getting involved with your peers, seeing what's going on during the day because you are working remotely, I don't think it quite works as quite well there. But I think the combination of the two, I think it covers all the bases. So again, you use the right tool for the right job, and I think having it on a mobile device certainly makes it again an easier transition. You never need to be out of contact, but again, I think it comes back to the browser's generally the best option that you're going to get the richest experience and be most happy using it. Now, I would also extend that. That's what I'm saying there about the single screen experience is probably the same with any social network. So if you use Twitter and you want to go to somewhere else, you've got to flick over and change it. And I think that's just the way it is. I think that Yammer is as good, if not better, than any other social networking tool on a mobile device. But with all of them, you get much better functionality through a browser.
That's right. So what you're saying too about having the app running and in the background, even if you don't have Yammer open, and this is my experience just from the Windows Phone, I think it's the same too for Android and iPhone, the feature of push notifications. So even though Yammer's not open and running, if someone directly mentions me within a message and says, blah, 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 Daryl, topic, blah, 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 and starts to talk, as soon as they're mentioning my name and they post their message, the push notification from the Yammer service comes out to my mobile phone and I get a nice little pop-up along the top of the screen. So I can then click on that and get straight into the conversation using the Yammer app. As I said, I think that's the same experience within the Android and iPhone app. But yeah, I guess it's a more focused way of using Yammer that you have an inbox and you have messages that have been directed at you and some that you've read and unread. And if I can begin, I guess, to talk about the email notifications and the Yammer inbox now, that's something that I guess based on our experience and the emotions that we have when we look at an inbox within our programs like Outlook. Oh no, there's 300 messages that have been unread. What do I do? And that blue number continues to climb. That's something that people do have anxiety around when they look at the Yammer inbox. Oh no, there's 50 messages I haven't read. What do I do? Don't panic. We just go in and we just read what we can, and I don't let the numbers bother me really. I engage in conversations as I need to be. I can pick up on the history of a conversation if I've missed it earlier. The inbox for Yammer, it does serve a really good purpose. Again, it's an area to focus on the conversations that you've either initiated, you've been mentioned in, or you've responded to. So this is where They're not just new conversations to you in a sense. They're ones that you're going to highly want to really be involved in. They're not suggested. They've been mentioned to you or you've already participated in. And so it's one place that you could get all concerned about the number of unread messages or just work your way through and don't feel like you have to read everything because you will pick up on the conversation eventually. And the connection between the Yammer inbox and your email notifications is that whatever appears in your Yammer inbox will usually be sent to your mailbox as well via email. And so where it comes to interacting with the inbox or even as far as the app goes, most of my interactions are either via email and responding to emails or initiating conversations via email or with the full experience within the browser.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, part of it is that, unfortunately, because now we've got so many different vectors in which information's coming from. So I think that you've got your traditional email, you've got your traditional, then you've got your social networks, the public social networks like Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Then you've maybe got, discussion forums and other things on the web you're involved with. Then you've got Yammer. I think that we're adding more and more information sources. So I think that. That's a given. We're not going to be able to solve that. It's just that, basically everybody now, the net's given everybody the ability to have a voice, which means that everybody generally wants to contribute, which is normal human behavior. I think that part of the solution to it is, and again, this is where Yammer, you've mentioned already, has a big benefit, is that where you get most information around a topic is generally by following the influencer or the influencers. So, the people who are the head of the game, who are ahead of the curve, who are discovering this stuff or interacting with others. I think that that's what the social networking is all about to be most effective. It's all about finding those influencers and then following them and interacting with them and asking them questions and getting feedback and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's where it's changed. Just rather than waiting for this flood of information to come in, and like you mentioned, the inbox just keeps ticking over, ticking over, ticking over. But if you really look at the people who are the influencers in what you're trying to become knowledge about, if you follow what they're talking about, their stuff is generally much higher quality and probably not as high a volume. So therefore, it's much easier to flow. I think a lot of it too is still this flow over from the effect that, I have to see everything. I have to see every piece of information that comes across my desk. And I've come to learn that, you know what, like you said, sometimes you've just got to let it go, and if it is important, it will come back to you. And that's a hard step to make for a lot of people. But I think to me, the key is influencers. You need to identify them, follow them, and see what they're putting out.
Now, one area we haven't talked much about either is the external networks that you have with Yammer. So we've talked a lot about communication within the organization. One that we did mention way early on was the Office 365 technical network, or now called just the Office 365 network. This is an external Yammer network that Microsoft has started based on their own subscription of Yammer. And so we all have that ability, those who have a Yammer subscription. We can start up our own external network for any purpose that we want and invite other people in to become part of that network and have conversations there too. So one practical way we use this within SharePoint is we have an external network that we use to have conversations with people, our customers, or people who are attending our conferences that we can keep a conversation going, whether it be before, during, or after conference, or people who are attending our training courses. We can continue that conversation in an external network that's within our control, quite separate from our internal network, but with all the lovely features that we're enjoying internally to keep conversations going and enjoy that, the email interaction as well. So that's something that where I've found particularly useful with Yammer is belonging to the Office 365 Yammer network. That Microsoft have used that quite effectively to engage people directly from the public and open themselves up to conversations. These guys and girls from the product groups, the ones that are actually coding the Microsoft products, never used to be as accessible, but because of this network, we can now have conversations and give direct feedback, and we're seeing some very, very good things come out of it. Where a feature might be released in Office 365, and we've got a group in there called Change Alerts. They're very quick to observe something that's changed. So here's another example of a good benefit of Yammer. This group is always looking and sharing within the group things that they're observing that are changing with Office 365. And they often let the group members know before Microsoft themselves have managed to get together and come up with an announcement. And so I've subscribed to that group, and I'm being told now via a collective group of eyes and ears and fingers that are typing that something's changed, and how are you using it? And is it working for you? And what do you think? Is it good or bad? And so Microsoft are now looking at that group along with others, and they're getting their feedback very quickly and thinking, well, maybe we better tweak that. Okay, we'll tweak that. And they do the tweak, and then things are right, and everyone's happy. It's been a really effective network, and this is one thing that organizations can do themselves with Yammer is begin to make themselves more accessible to their customers and have those conversations in a place where their customers can, work together with them and work together between themselves to have a better experience of their product or service.
And I think, like you said, I think part of it is that the external networks are also very powerful, because a lot of people come to me and they say, well, what's the benefit? I potentially see the benefit of Yammer with, 60, 70, 100 plus employees, but what about the very small business, the onesie, twosies, or up to fives, And I think that my answer to that is that the power of it then becomes in the external networks, is getting others to interact with it, joining other networks that you can benefit from, but also maybe inviting your external parties into, either your network or creating their own and then linking to you. I mean, is that a fair comment for the smaller people who are, looking to get benefit out of Yammer?
Yeah, definitely. If your only purpose for joining Yammer, if you're just a small business person who's just a one band, one person shop, joining Yammer is still useful in the sense of having an account to be able to participate in some of these public networks. Even the twos and threes, share the point, we're only five people, but we still use it in place of an all company distribution group. We have conversations in there, drop in our ideas. We have quick responses from each of us, and we build out our ideas even with a team of five. And we see that benefit mostly because we're spread geographically across New Zealand and US seasonally too. So it's even for your small shops, you do find it useful. And where a small business might be five people sitting in the same room, they probably ask the same question of why would they have an all company distribution group if they can shout across the room and say, "Hey, Petey, can you make a change to that pricing, please?" It's about making use of those tools, and I think it still has a place even internally for your small businesses as well. If you're out on the road, you can quickly drop in a comment or take a picture of a product placement within a shop or an idea that you've had and quickly share it with your team and get feedback very quickly. So you've got your external network membership that will benefit the ones and twos and small businesses, but I still think there's a place for it replacing the all company or all business distribution list, even within small businesses.
So, where do you see this sort of going in the longer term? Do you see that, all things going well or all things going as planned, that, the email DL distribution list disappears and we become less dependent on emails, we're more social in whatever tool we use? I mean, are we going to get to that point, or are we going to sort of end up with another medium that we're going to need to check? I mean, what are you seeing, or what do you see is going to be the thing, the progress going forward for, the social networking in the Yammer style versus the traditional email and direct contact?
I think that there's still going to be distribution lists in the sense of for service requests and for perhaps when you've got a system that needs to email a bunch of people to monitor something. And there will be DLs for some time still as people catch on to how the benefits are with the network like Yammer. I think that in the future we're going to see more integration with Yammer, and we haven't mentioned too yet the Office 365 groups, which is it's another level of social interaction again, where Yammer is going to be part of a place to have conversation, but to the point where we won't actually be thinking about, I'm going to choose this tool and I'm going to have a conversation. We'll just have it, and it'll be in a place where people can be part of it and not have to think about what the tool is. And that's I know the goal of Microsoft is to get to that point where you're not thinking about what tool, but who do I want to talk with and what kind of conversation do I want to have, and away you go. And that hopefully is where we all end up. We won't be thinking about DLs or leveraging DLs for notifications, so to speak, but we'll just get on with work and continue the conversation.
Yeah, it is interesting. It is a significant change, and it's obviously working its way into the enterprise. I mean, Yammer has been around for a while, but now we're seeing it integrated into the Office 365 and a number of different elements with, like I said, with Delve, with the groups, all those sort of things. So, social's obviously here to stay. Social's obviously the focus at the moment. Part of it means that some people are going to have to transition, and that will be a bit painful. For others, it will be a quite easy transition to something they'll look forward to and get a lot of benefits out of. So, at this stage, obviously, I would suggest that it's something that no organisation needs should be ignoring. It's something that they need to at least be having a look at and at least trying to embrace. And perhaps the best way to approach it is to look at a proof of concept. So again, maybe you take an item within your business and move that to Yammer where it's best suited to having public discussions and see how that goes. I mean, is that a logical way to sort of progress this Yammer growth or progress this move towards social?
I've heard of and also seen businesses where what they've done is let's think about a project or a particular piece of work that people are going to be beginning or continuing with, that they shift the conversation from a distribution list to saying, right, this is where all the announcements are going to be made in a Yammer group. This is where all the communication is going to be made in a Yammer group. And we'll send out meeting invites. Yep, sure, that's fine. And we'll do those sorts of things. But the conversation is going to be in Yammer. And the businesses and organizations have by taking that move with just one piece of work, have very quickly created a voice of people who have been supportive of Yammer, that they've seen the benefits of having that conversation in one place, and have been able to tell the rest of their organization about how successful it's been. So that's one approach. Another approach is perhaps joining a external Yammer network such as the Office 365 network and experiencing the big conversations for yourself, that being able to go in there and learn something and immediately appreciate the value of becoming part of a network, that you might have a question about how best to use Exchange for a certain thing, or how do I do something in SharePoint? And being able to get that information back very quickly from a very helpful community. And that's a way of experiencing its benefits from an external perspective, and then hopefully being able to bring that back and have the same kind of conversations within your own business.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there's plenty of options there to get out, and there's no cost involved in getting out and getting a feel of Yammer. Also, a lot of plans include Yammer that with the Office 365, so you can start bringing that within your organization. But I think, like anything, the important part is managing it. Again, where it tends to get out of control is where it's not managed. So again, if someone discovers Yammer and they aren't given any parameters or given some guidelines, I think that's much like email. People aren't trained how to use email, they just let loose on email, and that's why we end up with all these issues. So I think there's a lot to be said for governments and governance compliance in all aspects of IT, but especially with social. So the big recommendation or the big takeaway I would have for people listening was before you go marching down this line, you really need to sit down and say, what are we trying to achieve? How are we going to achieve it? What are the ground rules? How do we want people to play in our playground? And I think once you set those up and you begin to let people know, then you'll get a much more effective result, I would suggest. So, I mean, is that a good comment?
It is, and you can leverage some of the features within Yammer to help enforce that. So you do have a usage policy that when people do join the network or you know begin to have conversations in Yammer that they accept that usage policy. You can outline what's the nature of this Yammer network and how we as a business are going to use it. You can do and take that sort of same message down even to the group level where you can have the network has a purpose, but what is the purpose of a Yammer group or this particular Yammer group? And by having those inbuilt tools to be able to communicate with the people within the network, it's very hard to ignore what the guidance is because it is there and it's available and certainly easy to read. And in terms of the network usage policy, you can make it pop up as you join the network. So it's very clear to see. I would also leverage things such as short videos as well to be able to get the message across too for how a network might be used and how you plan to use it. Like you say, Robert, you do want to sit down just with any technology and do give some thought about how you want to use it. We have that same kind of conversation around SharePoint. Sure, you could jump in and start creating sites and uploading documents and the like and go nuts, but it does really make sense to slow down a bit, get a whiteboard and some pens and some team members around you and think, how do we want to organize this? And it can be the same with Yammer. In saying that, though, the nature of Yammer is about open conversation. So if you think about, do you sit around and plan the conversation you're going to have around the water cooler? Probably not, but you might plan where you want to put that water cooler to encourage conversation. So those are the sorts of things that you might think about with Yammer and you know the different groups that you might create before you open it up to the rest of the organization. Do I want conversations around products? Do I want them around the teams that we work in? And you know, sort of try and create those natural groupings that people will want to have discussions around. And yeah, the planning certainly will help. Definitely will help.
Okay, well, like I said, I think we could go on yammering all day about this sort of stuff, so we probably need to bring it an end to be mindful of people's time. We can certainly ask Daryl to come back once people have got a bit of experience with Yammer and we've started using it a bit more and comment on that amongst other topics that we can certainly cover here. But what we'll do is to round this off, I'll get Daryl to maybe just give us a quick summary of, you know, his experience, your points, how to get into Yammer, you know, basic stuff, and then let you, the listener, know how to get in contact with Daryl if you do have any further questions for him.
Right. Just yeah, in summary, I guess yammer.com is where you can start. There's a couple of sites or sub-sites off that. There's success.yammer.com, and that'll get you a good bunch of pages and some workflows through about how to plan to use Yammer, and you know, planning it out for your business. Also, seeing how you might be able to introduce it to your people and start to make good use of it. My contact details, I can be found at webster.net.nz. That's my blog site, and you'll find a page on there about me, which has all my LinkedIn details, Twitter details, and a way to send me an email too if you wish. I'm quite accessible. I do work day hours. I do have a day job, but I do like to dip in and out and you know, make sure that I can help people out on a social level and a community level too. The other place that I would probably just recommend too is going to aka.ms/technical network. That's the Office 365 network that I'm quite active in too, and you'll certainly find a lot of helpful people in there if you want help with Yammer and with Office 365.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, again, I think the thing is, there's lots of benefits there. It's a matter of just getting into it. You all you need is a browser and basically to sign up. No cost to do that, and that'll get you started. So, again, I'll thank Daryl for his time. Obviously, he's done this after hours, which we greatly appreciate. He's shared his knowledge with us. So, if you've
You're
got any
welcome.
questions for him, please send those along to him directly. I'll put all the information, and Daryl will send me any notes or whatever in probably hope maybe through Yammer or through an email, and I'll post them up on the show notes for this podcast episode. So, with that, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this episode. Remember, you can always contact me via my website, www.ciaops.com. And the best place to keep up to date with what's happening in my world is to have a look at my blog, which is blog.ciaops.com. And with that, thank you very much for listening. This episode has been brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.